Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Hi everyone, it's Gavin J, the best thing since the Kiwi. And you're listening to The Therapy Suite right here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. This week, I interviewed Dr. Kirill about how technology helps find out how to discover solutions to health issues such as long COVID. Dr. Kirill, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Thank you so much, Gavin.
Thanks for taking the time. I know you're very busy. You always have a busy week. Is that right?
Yeah, it's been pretty busy week. Yeah, thank you. But it's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, absolutely. But we're happy to have you here. Does it get busy? Do things get busy on the run-up to Christmas usually?
Well, actually, this is probably the busiest month because we have a lot of teachings and a lot of project wrap-ups just before the year end. So it's one of the busiest months actually of the year. But it's quite exciting as well because everybody is looking to the Christmas break and the new year.
Brilliant. Do you get that time off over the Christmas break, like from say the 23rd, 24th for the week, or are you on and off basically?
Oh, definitely. I mean, this is the best time for me and my family as well. I do spend this week off actually and spending time with the family. This is once in a year when the whole family unites.
Fantastic. Look, tell us a bit more about your background and how you got to where you are today.
Sure. I actually got my first degree in physics of biological system, at that time supported by Supreme Council of Ukraine. And then I did my PhD in chemoinformatics. And through the chemoinformatics development, I ended up doing research in AI and artificial intelligence and machine learning, because I believe that the future of medicine is data-driven. And currently, the healthcare is actually the biggest generators of data. Comparing to YouTube and Facebook, it generates more data. And currently, a lot of this data are unused because we don't have the technologies, we don't have the tools and solutions. And my team and I are developing these tools to crunch basically healthcare data for a variety of applications, including precision medicine and nutrition.
Gosh, sounds like there's loads going on. Artificial intelligence sounds very interesting. It does. What is that exactly?
Well, what we call artificial intelligence is kind of narrow intelligence because there are a lot of data sets are generated. And in the machine learning terms, data sets means experience. And machine learning are the tools basically which are able us to extract the experience from the data, identify the patterns. And even if you take the genomics technology alone, it generates massive amount of data, tens of thousands of genes, for example, that express in our bodies. And it's beyond any human to understand the relationship of these genes, for example, and diseases. So we need the tools, and machine learning tools provide us the means to extract the knowledge and information from such complex data.
Right, I see. Very interesting. Okay, basically, can you explain to me what, or us rather, what DreamLab is and why this project is so beneficial to researchers like yourself?
Yeah, sure. Basically, your smartphone in your pocket is a small but powerful computer. It's actually more powerful than computers that put a man on a moon. And currently, it when you're not using it, its power is untapped. And as part of the DreamLab, we've harnessed that processing power of tens of thousands of smartphones to create a virtual supercomputer that can speed up important cancer and COVID-19 research as part of my project.
Brilliant. You know what? I watched a documentary a few months ago, and they were talking about the smartphone, and they compared the technology in a smartphone to, I think, something from the 70s or the early 80s, like a room full of computers and all these flickering lights and all the rest of it. Yeah. And I was watching this, I thought, oh my gosh, really? And it, you know, the smartphone, just a small device, has replaced computers from like decades ago now, where rooms were filled full of technology. That's unbelievable, isn't it?
This is definitely the case. And can you imagine if you can combine the processing power of thousands of smartphones, you would end up with a virtual supercomputer that can do very complex calculations. And compared to decades ago, now your smartphone is more powerful than a decade-old desktop computer. So, yes, I mean, it has massive processing power.
It's unbelievable, you know. And it's much faster as well, smartphones, would that be correct, than like computers of years ago?
It depends, obviously, on calculations. If it's calculations performed on central processing units, for example, then some calculations can be faster using smartphones. But when it comes to, for example, calculations performed on the graphical cards, then even a decade-old computer, for example, can be more powerful. It depends on the applications, I have to say. But for some applications and for the one that we are doing as part of DreamLab, the processing power of a smartphone is very, very powerful. Let me give you an example. So for our project, if you were to combine the processing power of tens of thousands of smartphones and do calculations for a couple of months that is required, for example, for one of our projects, the same calculations, if you were to do using desktop, high-end desktop PC, would have taken you decades to complete.
Gosh, that's unreal.
This is really, really unreal, I have to say. But that is, yeah, this network is extremely, extremely powerful.
Yeah, that sounds pretty, that is amazing. Honestly, that is like, I don't know, that's just unbelievable, you know. How is DreamLab helping to solve long COVID?
Well, actually, projects with DreamLab started several years ago, and as part of the initial project, we looked at cancer and COVID-19. And what we are looking as part of our DreamLab-related projects are the food-based molecules. We call it dark matter of nutrition, and I'll come back to it in a second. And existing medicine that can target the networks that are disrupted in cancer and in COVID and COVID-19. To find effective and potentially personalized therapies in cancer and COVID-19. So as part of our early research, we have discovered about 110 molecules in foods, and we're currently doing preclinical studies combining these molecules with existing therapies in cancer to help to improve outcomes, particularly in colorectal and lung cancer, because we believe that dietary changes along with the traditional standard of care can improve and drive outcomes in cancer. And as part of the long COVID research, we have repurposed those AI technologies, artificial intelligence technologies. And this is a quite exciting field of AI, because we work with the network structured data. So a lot of biological processes are governed by the interactions of molecules, for example, proteins. like a lot of signaling and metabolic processes are governed by these complex interactions. The traditional, what's now in the mainstream media, deep learning methods, they have been designed and developed for imaging type data, so working with images like photos, for example. In biology, we deal with networks, and therefore we have been developing a new class of deep learning methods that are specifically suitable for the analysis of network structured data that can be ultimately repurposed also for social networks. And we're doing it as part of our collaboration with Professor Michael Bronstein, who pioneered the whole field of deep learning on graphs. I mean, this is an exciting technological development, but at the same time, help us to hunt for drug-like molecules in foods and existing medicine and find the new uses against cancer genomes and COVID-19, and now with the new phase against long COVID.
Gosh, it sounds very complex. There's a lot going on. How long has this been going on for now, this research and the technology Dream Lab and looking into long COVID and that kind of thing?
Oh, this research has been going on since 2018, where we have launched the first project. The Dream Lab app itself been developed by Vodafone Foundation back in 2005 and back in 2015. And we have integrated specifically the machine learning component into the app for our own application. So it's been going on for a couple of years, and we have published a couple of peer-reviewed manuscripts, and I would encourage people just to look for scientific publications on the discoveries that we made against cancer and against COVID-19. Although these are computational discoveries, and it would take years to perform clinical validation and experimental validation of these discoveries. Nevertheless, they are very important. And just to give you the complexity of the problem, so if you were to study the effect of, say, 3 molecules out of 10,000 molecules, that would lead you combinatorically to about 1 trillion possibilities. Can you imagine? 1 trillion possibilities. So if you were to use the traditional experimental methods to explore the effects on our health, that would be like taking a bike to explore the galaxy.
You that remember. Is unreal. It's just mind-blowing. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. The brain can't even fathom what that means. And I like the metaphor that you give, like a bike exploring the galaxy. I mean, you know.
Exactly. So we basically need artificial intelligence and machine learning to help us to select the best combinations of molecules and drugs that can be effective treatments ultimately. So this is a massive computational challenge. And when you use DreamLab, it downloads a very tiny scientific problem, solves it, and sends results back to us. So by distributing the problem across tens of thousands of smartphones, we are able to solve hundreds of thousands, millions, billions of small problems, and then select the most interesting combinations of a drug and food-based molecules, in our case, against cancer, against COVID-19, and now, obviously, in long COVID.
Gosh. We're just going to go to a quick ad break, and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So, Dr. Kirill, thanks for that. I mean, it's quite mind-blowing what, you know, the research means and what's going on and, you know, all your involvement and everything like that. I mean, how can members of the public donate their smartphones to, you know, processing power to support research efforts like this one?
Yeah, it's very easy, actually. You can just go to the Google Play Store or Apple App Store, download DreamLab, charge it, for example, overnight, and open DreamLab and click power, and that's all you need. It's very easy. You can be part of our large scientific community and help us to speed up scientific research.
That's brilliant. Have you had? Has there been many phones donated so far?
Oh yes. I think we have had over 2 million downloads, and that's really exciting, because the more people we have, the faster we can solve the scientific problems. Because I just explained the sheer number of combinations that we are testing and simulating the effects on biological networks is mind blowing, really. And the more people use it, the faster calculations can be done. And I'm particularly grateful to all these, what we call citizen scientists, who contribute their processing power to help us scientific research. And the idea that we publish our results so members of the public can read the discoveries that they've made and make hopefully positive changes in their diet, because we have discovered a lot of particularly plant-based foods such as fruits and vegetables have a lot of interesting phytochemicals in them that may help to prevent diseases such as cancer and also COVID-19.
Gosh. And how many, that 2 million phones that were donated, how long did it take to get that many phones?
Well, that's the download. So when it comes to active users, I think it's the users who basically use app on a daily basis. That's, I think, over 100,000 people we currently have. Basically, more or less, it depends on the month, sometimes more. Hopefully during Christmas, more people donating. That took us a couple of years, actually, to get to that level.
That's brilliant and fantastic news. You know, I'm glad that people are helping out, you know, donating their phones if need be.
Yeah, I'm a great believer that to get people involved into the scientific research. And I think this is a relatively easy way to contribute to the scientific projects. And our role as scientists, I think, to feedback the discoveries back to the public so they can they could be more interested actually reading the discoveries.
Of course. What has your DreamLab study found out about long COVID?
With regard to long COVID, the phase is currently ongoing, and it will be completed. It depends on how many people using the app, but we hope to complete it by the end of 2023, maybe beginning of 2024. And the aim of the phase is to identify drug-like molecules in the food that we eat to develop dietary interventions to help to resolve symptoms associated with long COVID-19. Long COVID is a very complex set of disorders and with different manifestations, with different networks that drive it. And in the end, we hope to identify food-based molecules that will target these networks to help to resolve long COVID symptoms. That's the ultimate aim. But of course, that would require large-scale clinical trials to validate the discoveries, and therefore it would take many more years, actually, until these interventions can be developed. But nevertheless, we hope that through the simulations, what we call in biology in silico, simulations, we can point to people what food and particularly what foods can be more beneficial potentially to resolve long COVID symptoms.
Okay. I've spoken to some people that have been advised that they've been diagnosed with long COVID, and some other people have told me they've known people that were diagnosed with long COVID, and they spoke about like having ongoing, like, and this is terrible, I mean, like not being able to taste food still, and having lethargy, like still feeling weak after having COVID. And obviously their general practitioner saying that the person has long COVID and that kind of thing. Are they some of the symptoms that you've heard that are ongoing with long COVID?
Yes, actually, according to obvious national statistics, I think over 50% of people, or around 50% of people are experiencing fatigue, as you said, about 23% experiencing loss of smell, as you pointed out, also shortness of breath, I mean, another common symptoms in long COVID. And that's why I said a bit earlier that it's a whole set of heterogeneous set of disorders actually that associated with long COVID. And it's quite common actually for viral diseases to have long lasting symptoms. And so COVID-19 is no exception in this respect.
That's awful. That those symptoms was like to hear when people were telling me, or the other people were telling people that I've known. I was like, gosh. So what? This person might not be able to taste, possibly, ever again. Possibly, or smell, or the lethargy. And I mean, I don't know. Hopefully, in the future. I mean, I know there's something known as long COVID, obviously, but I suppose. Is there a point, I'm hoping there'll be a point where it ends or you can minimize it. I mean, you know, when you hear this thing as a general, someone from the general public, and you think maybe at some point it might minimize later on. Because sometimes some illnesses take longer than others, possibly. I don't know.
Yes, and that's what our ultimate hope is to provide people with smart dietary choices that hopefully help them to minimize such symptoms, but to do it in scientific basis. To understand how these molecules impact the molecular networks that drive the symptoms of long COVID-19, and design ultimately the smart dietary choices that can target it.
And diet, I mean, I know you've mentioned diet. What kind of diet are we looking at here to try and help?
Well, as part of our previous discoveries, we have found the particularly molecules from a large group of flavonoids, terpenoids. These are present in relatively large abundance in plant-based foods, such as fruits and vegetables, for example, in relatively large abundance. I have to say that what we are looking as part of our project, what we call the dark matter of nutrition, and I'll explain in a second what the dark matter means, but the nutrition science have made an excellent progress in understanding the minerals, the micronutrients. It's minerals and vitamins, and also micronutrients such as fats, carbohydrates, and proteins. There have been a lot of studies, and if you currently count all these components that are currently traced by national agencies, such as, for example, United States Department of Agriculture, there would be about 145 or 150 components that are currently traced by this agency. So if you buy, for example, food in the supermarket, you would have a macronutrient contents and micronutrient contents outlined. But the recent advances in analytical technologies, such as, for example, mass spectrometry, enable us to measure thousands of other molecules that are also present in the food that we eat. And they also have potentially profound effect on our health, but they are currently not traced by national agencies. And as part of our research, for example, we have discovered 110 molecules that can be potentially impact the prevention of cancer, and another 52 that disrupt what we call the virus-host interactome networks in the case of COVID-19. This is just to give you the complexity. So if you were to add another 150 components and would need to trace them, that would involve quite a massive undertaking for the food industry. But this, the dark matter that currently not traced, may have a very profound effect on our health, and ultimately it needs to be added into the list, and we need to start monitoring the effect of these molecules on our health, because ultimately that would lead to what we call precision nutrition intervention that would be tailored to individual to improve the outcome of the diseases, but also hopefully prevent the diseases, because we know that diet plays a critical component in the development of a lot of diseases.
So if it's plant-based, does that mean, generally speaking, vegetarian food is good, would be a positive way forwards for dealing with long COVID, you know, that kind of thing?
That is true. But on the other hand, we know that certain ingredients, for example, certain foods would contain a more diverse set of molecules and their abundances would be higher. So, for example, in the case of COVID-19, we have to identify that berries like blueberries, raspberries, they have a particularly interesting profile of phytochemicals that would target a virus host interactome networks. So some ingredients would have, let's say, more of the helpful molecules. Some would be help would have less. And the idea of these large scale calculations is actually give people an idea of what ingredients and foods may be more beneficial for a specific set of disorders or for prevention of certain set of diseases. And that is only possible when you do this kind of large-scale calculation, because more or less every ingredient, every food has some interesting phytochemistry in it, but ultimately it's the combinations of these foods that would need to be considered as part of the diet. And to complicate it further, for example, food processing would affect the composition of these molecules. If you boil it, for example, whether the food is coming from, where it was grown, for example, for how long it was stored. All this basically add the complexities into the equation.
How about fluids-wise? Is there anything about fluids, like, for example, smoothies? You know, I mean, a healthy smoothie, though, with fruits and vegetables in it, would that, I'm guessing that would be something that would be quite helpful as well.
Well, I start my morning routines actually with a cabbage smoothie, I have to say, after the discoveries that's been done.
You started changing your diet as well. That's brilliant. No, good. Exactly. I think it's really good. I think it's brilliant.
But it tastes awful, I have to say. So actually, it's, well, I mean, yeah, raw fruits and vegetables definitely would be one way to get these phytochemicals in your diet. Also, we found, for example, fermentation process, like Korean kimchi, for example. I mean, fermentation preserves a lot of nutrients, a lot of molecules, and therefore also may be considered.
That's brilliant. We're just going to go to another quick ad break, and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time, and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget, so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
UK Health Radio, The station that makes you feel good.
So, Dr. Kirill, in terms of, we mentioned about diet. Is there anything else that can that you think people can use to minimize the effects of long COVID, or any preventative measures at all?
Obviously, the vaccination is something has been consistently shown to prevent the development of long COVID symptoms. So yes, definitely, I would advise people to get vaccinated. But currently, the studies are ongoing because it's a relatively a new set of disorders, because COVID-19 has been with us only for a couple of years, and some of the symptoms can last for very long, for several months. So that's why there are ongoing studies, and hopefully in a couple of years we would be able to understand the disease better at molecular level and ultimately classify it better as well, and develop more effective interventions.
Of course. So diet, be more plant-based and also or vegetarian, etc., and vaccines. Is there anything else people can do at all for prevention or to manage it if they've got long COVID?
Well, it's just like with any disease, I think the general advice is given to do the exercise also possible, and have generally a balanced diet. And hopefully our research would point out to a couple of ingredients of foods that are particularly enriched with the molecules that would help to resolve long COVID symptoms, but that would come and need to be properly validated in large-scale clinical trials that would take years to complete. But as I said before, hopefully the simulations that we're currently doing using AI and machine learning point out that certain foods may be more beneficial than others, and people can take notice of that.
Of course. No, that makes a lot of sense. And you're right. I mean, absolutely. I mean, like with any condition, you know, whether someone might get a flu or, you know, whatever it might be, it's best to kind of, you're absolutely right, have a balanced diet, exercise if need be, or walking or whatever it might be. And the whole point of it is to maintain the immune system, isn't it? That's generally, or try and improve it and boost it, isn't it?
Exactly.
Because we're trying to help, we're all coming across people possibly in the public that might have COVID. And if we've got a good immune system, hopefully, and with the vaccine as well and all the rest of it, it's about minimizing symptoms or even, you know, the person not contracting fully blown COVID, basically, I'm guessing. Is that right?
This is exactly the case. I mean, the purpose of vaccination and yes, a short answer.
I mean, in terms of, has there been anything around your research looking into treatment and symptoms of long COVID that has surprised you at all?
Well, what surprised us actually, because as I said, that for long COVID-19, our research is still ongoing, so the discoveries will be aggregated and hopefully to be analyzed by the end of 2023. But with regard to the COVID-19 particularly, we have identified about 52 drug-like molecules in foods. We have published it in the peer-reviewed research, and we have found that certain foods, particularly berries, as I mentioned, the blackcurrant, cranberry, and blueberry, cruciferous vegetables such as cabbage and broccoli, apples and citrus fruit, are particularly enriched with the molecule that they target the so-called virus-host interactome network, because any virus uses our network machinery to survive, to spread, and to replicate. And as part of that research, we're looking for the food-based molecules and also the graph neural networks to target these networks in the best possible way. And as part of that research, what surprised us that certain foods would have combinations of molecules that are particularly suited to disrupt these networks. And as I mentioned, that berries, broccoli, and cabbage, and hence I have cabbage smoothie every morning.
That smoothie of yours, the ingredients, I'm sure, is increasing every morning.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. Absolutely makes a lot of sense.
But I have to say, for example, let's make one example. So in specifically in cabbage, we have found indolcarbinol. That is quite an interesting molecule to target the virus-host interactome network. But the problem is that it's responsible for the bitter taste of cabbage. And now if you're going into a supermarket and buy cabbage, it doesn't necessarily have a bitter taste because consumer acceptance is not there. So there can be a trade-off between the consumer acceptance and the health benefit of the food product. So those with health benefits may not taste as good as the ones that you currently have in the supermarket. So this just to give you the complexity of the problem.
Yeah, it does sound that way. And I think you mentioned early on just regarding food, which was interesting, the way the food is cooked makes a difference as well. For example, being boiled, is that right? Like boiled as opposed to deep fried, for example, because I suppose it's to do with nutrients, isn't it? We're trying to maintain the nutrients in food. And if it's cooked in certain ways.
Exactly. And actually boiling and frying, we have found through our research that it destroys a lot of molecules that we're interested in. And the more gentle processes, for example, fermentation, like kimchi, I mentioned, preserve the nutrients and molecules that we're interested in, for example. And we have now a large project in collaboration with the university in the United States, with Yale University, to look at basically the molecular changes over time once kimchi, for example, is fermented. So we would be able to map how these molecules evolve over time and how the fermentation process changes its composition.
That's very interesting. And it kind of reinforces, just generally speaking, to maintain nutrients in food, there's certain ways that are better cooked than others, you know? So yeah. Long COVID, as we know, is ruining people's lives, but there's still very minimal amounts of research on the illness. Why do you think that is?
Well, as I mentioned, that the COVID-19 has been with us only for a couple of years. It's a new set of disorders. And research and science takes quite a bit of time to complete, many years usually. And I'm sure that the current studies are ongoing and the discoveries will be made in the near future to understand the molecular mechanism of the disease. And that would help ultimately us to develop more effective treatments and precision nutrition interventions to tackle this problem.
No, absolutely. I remember during the COVID time when we were trying to develop a vaccine. And I think traditionally, it usually takes about a decade, 10 to 15 years, usually in the past, to develop a vaccine. And this time, it took, we're under a year. I can't even remember. It was very quick. And I'm aware that a lot of funding was pumped into, you know, speed up research and development. You know, so I mean, what's your comments on that? I mean, obviously with vaccines, it's still under research. It's still something that's being improved. Is that right?
Well, it's been remarkable, I think, with vaccines, because indeed, as you pointed out, it took many, many years before to develop the vaccine. And it's been an extraordinary, I think, scientific achievements to get it done, as you pointed out, in about a year, or even less than a year. I mean, it's really amazing, and also the drug development landscape is changing, but it does take years actually to do effective large scale clinical trials to generate the evidence that can be sufficient to do large scale interventions, and I think safety is really important aspect in all of this, because you don't want to develop intervention that will be harmful to people.
Absolutely, absolutely. No, 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 and I totally get that. And it was an emergency situation as well. We've got to remember.
Exactly.
So, you know, it was so crucial. And I think we're all grateful that, you know, that money was provided for research to speed up, to get a vaccine, which obviously has helped control the situation. And I always knew that there was going to be ongoing research with vaccines, as with COVID, to try and to try and help improve what's out there already, medical wise, you know. So, have you sort of ever researched into the effects of COVID in terms of someone's psychological element?
No, my team hasn't been involved. I have to say, I know that as you mentioned, that fatigue is one of the most common symptoms of long COVID-19. I haven't directly been involved in research.
And that's fair enough. It's just an off-the-cuff question. I was just thinking about that. I was thinking, I wonder if any research has been gone into that. Obviously, there must be someone that looks into these things and all the rest of it. I know during the COVID period especially, people's mental health was massively affected, you know, as well as the strains of being isolated, you know, affected mental health-wise. I actually spoke to people that had COVID over the phone. I was having discussions with people, and they explained to me how, you know, moods, they're low, really low moods, some people depressed because experiencing these change in their needs. And, you know, it was an awful, awful time. And, you know, unfortunately, some people might be still affected or affected from the psychological elements of long COVID. So, you know, it's brilliant that yourselves are around and there's general companies out there and people are looking further and still researching into COVID and the effects. I suppose the big question is, do you think we can find a cure for long COVID?
Well, I mean, in a number of years, probably ultimately, that's the ultimate hope of all of us. And I hope that my team would contribute, in addition to the drug developments, with the supportive diets that would be prescribed to help long COVID-19 patients to recover faster. And that's our hope.
Absolutely. I'm hoping it will end up being like a flu. You know, when people get the flu, and with the vaccine, it helps minimize symptoms, if not prevents it. And then it goes away and it never comes back. No, it might come back again. We all get flu. It can happen once a year or whatever it is. But basically, it will come and go. And I believe that was a lot of the conversation during the time of the epidemic. A lot of people were saying, oh, you know, this will end up being, hopefully with vaccine, it will end up being like a normal, any other condition. You know, like flu or whatever it might be. Because in the past, I mean, flu caused massive issues, isn't it? When there was no vaccine, people were dying because of the flu and measles and I believe and chicken pox and stuff like that. When there weren't vaccines, people's health were significantly affected. But then when you've got, through research and development, you've got the vaccines, it's massively controlled what used to be a killer, you know?
Well, exactly. The vaccine have massively changed the management and prevented a lot of these diseases. And in COVID-19 as well, thanks to the vaccine, that disease became more manageable. And as I mentioned before, that vaccination is one of the key components to prevent the development of long COVID symptoms as well. So it's really important to have it. Absolutely. And hopefully with the science that we're doing, in addition to the vaccinations, we would be providing people with more precise or smart dietary choices that would help even further to minimize the effects of long COVID. That's the ultimate hope.
Absolutely, absolutely. Can you talk to me a bit about the role of Vodafone, the Vodafone Foundation, and which it plays in the development of DreamLab applications?
Yeah, exactly. Because Vodafone Foundation, together with the Australian company called Transpire, actually developed the DreamLab app back in 2015. Initially, it was launched for a cancer-related project by Garvan Institute in Australia. And then in 2018, my team at Imperial College has integrated artificial intelligence and machine learning component into it to hunt for the dark for food-based molecules and drugs against cancer genomes, as I pointed out, and COVID-19. And now we're doing calculations and repurposed it for long COVID-19 to help to develop more effective preventative interventions, including precision nutrition interventions. So that's in a nutshell.
Okay. I mean, and the Dream Lab app is free, is it? And it's free to download. People can download it.
Yeah, it's free to download. And you can, as I mentioned before, if you go to a Google App Store or Apple App Store, you can download and start using it straight away.
Is there anything else you're working on to start maybe next year research-wise?
Well, I personally believe that the field of medicine needs to be changed from more kind of sick care, damage control, to preventative healthcare. And along that line, we just got exciting EU-wide projects focusing on the development of gastric cancer, because it's a multi-step process, which usually caused by H. pylori, which then goes to inflammation and ultimately manifests with the development of cancer. So as part of that, we are actually looking at different types of data to integrate it, to build a complete picture of the patient journey so we can develop early on interventions to help us to prevent gastric cancer, which is an ongoing problem in a variety of countries, including UK.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, it sounds like you're going to be very, very busy for the next few years, by the sound of things, working on a variety of different things. If people need to find out more about DreamLab and the app or anything like that, are there websites at all available or contact that can be made or even with yourself or anything like that?
There are a web page on Vodafone website. If people just Google it, they can learn more about the DreamLab itself. With regard to the publication, they can go to my personal webpage at Imperial College. Just type my surname, Veselkov, and Google, for example, search engine, and then go to my personal webpage where you can find all the scientific publications that we have published on the DreamLab-related discoveries. And also, I just wanted to thank a lot of people who contributed their processing power to help us to do this research.
Of course. It sounds like a lot of the team itself. Is it a big team of people or?
Well, yes, as part of my team at Imperial College, I have computational scientists. I have biochemical scientists who are doing a lot of preclinical validations of the discoveries that we've done. But also as part of our team, we have a molecular gastronomy chef, Joseph Yuzin, who have taken some of the discoveries that we've done and created what we call hyperfoods recipe cookbooks. Of course, this is an artist view on the discoveries that have been made, but people can just, again, Google for hyperfoods cookbooks and they would find two cookbooks with the delicious and the simple, relatively simple recipes that were produced by our molecular gastronomy chef, Joseph Yuzin, who has done a brilliant job, actually, in putting it together in a cookbook, thanks to Vodafone Foundation, actually, also for helping out to produce such books.
That's fantastic. I think that's brilliant that there's a cookbook out then, you know, and it, as well as just to generally maintain health, it will help someone put a diet together they can use if they have long COVID, by the sound of things, and, you know, help improve the situation, which is fantastic. I think that's amazing, you know?
Thank you.
Dr. Kirill, look, thank you for your time today. Much appreciate that. And you've already provided some details of where people can find you, which is fantastic. And so thank you very much for the evening. And thank you very much to all our listeners. You know, you can find me on Instagram at GavinJ517, yep, something like that. And we wish you all the best for the rest of the week. Take care. Bye-bye.
COTA just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your COTA fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with COTA. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.